Morning. I liked what that song said about Jesus belongs to me, and we belong to Jesus. It's not enough to know about Jesus, but you need to have him as your personal Lord and Savior. All right, we're going to be continuing in our discipleship book, lesson 6. I promise we will try to wrap that up today. We made it up to page 16, and we were down towards the bottom of the page. And we were looking at Romans chapter 1, 29 through 31, I'll just read it. It says, "The Bible gives us a partial list of sins that we should cleanse ourselves of, list them." And we did. And I numbered them, and I believe that there's 23 sins there. And let's go to Romans 1, 29. I'll read that just to refresh our memories. It says, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Now, we made it up to, I believe it was the 19th one, which is without understanding, but I talked about murder last week. We talked about how abortion is a major sin, and 50 million abortions have been committed since 1973. And this week, I noticed that we had another shooting. It says, 5 dead, including gunmen, after standoff in Washington State. I saw that on Action News. I think that was just last night. Before that, we had another shooting. A man who stormed into a Kansas factory, I believe it was a lawnmower factory, where he worked, and shot 15 people, killing 3. I believe he was killed too. Had just served with a protective order that probably set off the attack, authorities said Friday. We're reading about we have all these sins in the last days, and murder being one of them. In the world, there is a spirit of death. It's a demonic, satanic spirit of death right now. If you look around, you see a lot of T-shirts and bumper stickers with skulls and tattoos with skulls. And it's just a zombie obsession. It's a spirit of and a culture of death. And as a result of that, you're having a lot of these mass murders. We didn't see these years ago. If one of these happened in a decade, it was shocking. We're seeing them almost every night on the news, a different one. In the world, there's a spirit of death. So you have murder, and souls are being poured into hell as a result of it. In the church, you have a spirit of life. You have many women, including my wife, about to give birth or having just given birth. So life is being created. Souls are being saved and going to heaven. Praise the Lord for, there's a difference. We're talking about the difference between the world and the church, between being saved and unsaved, between being sanctified and unsanctified, and so I just wanted to touch on that real briefly, before we continue. But here we have Number 19, without understanding. The word understanding means the ability to understand or comprehend something. It can also mean to have good insight or judgment. The word appears in the King James Bible 156 times. An example of being without understanding can be found in Proverbs 6:32. Let's go there. It says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. So how many families have we heard about that have been destroyed by adultery? You might breeze right by this one sin in Romans 1:31, but you do so at your own risk. Lives are being destroyed. Families are being destroyed. Souls are being destroyed because people are not having good understanding. Or having good judgment. So number 20, back in Romans chapter 1, we move on to covenant breakers. Marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman for life, for better or worse, through sickness and health, till death do you part. People are making a mockery of this marriage covenant today. We've heard about 50% of all marriages end in divorce. One source I investigated said the rate is probably closer to about 42% to 45%, but no matter how you slice it, it's horrible. So if the family is the basic unit of society, then about 42 to 45% of our society is being ripped apart. And you can tell because when a dad is missing from a family, crime, drugs, violence, it skyrockets. The divorce rate in the church is lower because as Christians, we have a moral foundation and a moral authority that tells us that God hates divorce and that we should love our wives like Christ loves the church. So number 21, we move on to without natural affection. This term also appears in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3. So let's go there. Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's an interesting statement. And do we see selfishness today? You can see it in the magazines that we read. First, there was Life magazine. So that kind of included plants, animals, people, everyone. Then there was People magazine. Okay, we're kind of narrowing it down to just human beings. Then there was Us magazine. We're narrowing it down a little bit further to just ourselves, but it's still with someone else. Then there was You magazine. Now we have Self magazine. I think the ultimate is Oprah magazine. This is a magazine for an individual person. Now, when I'm standing in the checkout line, I always love to see, who's going to be on the cover of Oprah magazine this month. And to my surprise, it's usually Oprah. Can anyone say narcissistic? So we are becoming more selfish today. So we move on to boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. There's our word. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. The term natural affection is the same type of natural love that members of the same family would share for one another. So here we see that people are becoming without natural affection or love for their children and parents. How many times do we see in the news that moms are killing their children and children are killing their parents? Brothers and sisters, we're in the last days. So we move on to implacable. This is back in Romans chapter 1. Here is a term I definitely needed to study. What is this? The word means unable to be placated, unappeasable, unforgiving, unsparing, inflexible, unyielding, ruthless, merciless, cruel, hard, harsh, or iron-fisted. So husband, if your wife burns the meatloaf, don't be implacable with her. You know, forgive her, show her grace. And wives, if your husband forgets the anniversary, don't be implacable. You know, show him mercy. And finally, number 23 on our hit list of sins here in Romans chapter 1, we see unmerciful. So mercy is not giving someone a punishment that they do deserve. Grace is giving someone something good that they don't deserve. So let's not be unmerciful. Let's be like Jesus and show mercy and grace to each other. So we move on finally to page 17 in our discipleship book. And it says, Romans chapter 12, 2 gives us a negative command and a positive command. The negative command is, and let's go to Romans chapter 12 and read it. And see what it has to say. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what would be the negative command? Anyone want to wager a guess? Be not conformed. What would be the positive command? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the world speaks of the unsaved society around us. It speaks of fashions, ethics, philosophies, religion, and entertainment, which are characteristic of the unsaved and opposed to God's commands. Rather than conforming our thinking to the world's ideas, what does Romans 12:2 tell us to do? It tells us that we need to be transformers. You know, we need to be transformed. And so what should fill your mind or renew it if you are to be separated from sin? Let's go to Psalm 119:9. Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So we need to read the Bible. That's how we can cleanse our way. And this is going to be a battle. My wife and I, we went to Target last night, actually Walmart, and everything in there is designed to draw you away from God. Amen. You know, the toy aisle, the electronics department, the magazines. And so the world knows how to draw you away from God. That's why it's so important to read the Bible every day. You should read it every day, whether you feel like it or not. It's God's word, and it does not return void. It will do something in your life. I believe reading the Bible every day so much, I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. I bought these. These are one-year Bibles. They're King James. And what these do is they break the entire Bible down into 365 readings. They have Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs every day. And I just wanted to put this out there that, you know, if anyone is struggling with reading your Bible every day, you know, come up to me in between services, I'll give you one of these. And I have a King James helper. This is from Chick Tracks, that it says, over 600 archaic words defined. If you have a King James Bible, this book needs to be inside it. So it'll help you understand some of the old words. So we become set apart from the world and set apart unto God. That's what I was talking about last week. It's not so much, you know, what you're separated from, but who you're separated unto. And it's not, you know, I got to give up cigarettes. It's, you know, I get to not get lung cancer. You know, I get to have Jesus in my life. I get to go to heaven when I die, when you accept Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. So let's see. Whatever fills our mind, whatever we think about, this will control us. So if we are to live as God desires, we must renew or fill our minds with God's word. This separation of sin and turning to live for Jesus Christ is known as sanctification. It means to be set apart. So we become set apart from the world and set apart unto God. What does God use to sanctify us? Let's go to John 17:17. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let's see. After a person is saved, what should be his desires concerning the way he lives? Let's go to Titus 3:8. Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now, obviously, we don't maintain good works to earn salvation. Salvation is a free gift, but we are to maintain good works to demonstrate our change in our lives to the lost world. We can never repay Jesus for what he did for us, but we can live our lives in such a way that it's one big thank you to him. You know, we could never pay an infinite price that Jesus paid for us, because we're finite creatures. So it says, the last paragraph on page 17 says, Christian, having received the great gift of God, eternal life, let us be grateful and live for him. Let it not be said of you, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Titus 1:16. So that finishes up lesson 6. I guess we'll go right into lesson 7. We got time. So let's go to Malachi. He's the Italian prophet. You never heard of him? Malachi, the Italian prophet. Okay, that was, for the record, it's Malachi. Let's go to Malachi 3:10. That's the last book in the Old Testament. I'm trying to lighting it up a little bit, because lesson 7 says two tough subjects. Money and gulp witnessing. I don't feel worthy to be able to teach about this, but I'll give it my best shot. So Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. False prosperity gospel preachers like Benny Hinn have been fleecing the flock for years, not feeding the flock. So they've been giving money and the church a bad name. You know, a lot of people you know, get very confused by you know, these prosperity preachers on TV because they're always talking about money. I remember even before I was saved, I saw those guys, and something didn't ring true about them. You know, this is an interesting verse here. It says, you know, to prove him. The word prove means to test. This is the only place in the Bible that God tells us to test him. In fact, Jesus specifically tells us not to test God in Luke 4:12. Let's go there. Luke 4:12 says, and Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 6:16 there. So throughout the Bible, we see God testing people like Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And I believe that it's biblical that God should test us, to what we will do. He knows the end from the beginning. God is outside of time. He knows what we're going to do. God, I believe, tests us so that we can see what we'll do. To see if you know we'll be obedient to God and to what we're reading in God's Word. So we can see what's going on in our hearts. So what's going on here in Malachi 3:10? Why would God tell us to test him on this subject? I think it's because it's important to God that we see what will happen if we trust him with our money that he has provided for us. And God wants to bless us, but we need to trust him. So number one, is it necessary that a Christian give? Read Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, and Malachi 3, 8 through 10. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I believe that the answer here is yes, it is necessary for Christians to give, because this is not a suggestion. It's a command. And commandments are found throughout the Bible, not just in the Ten Commandments. Let's go back to Malachi and start in verse 8 this time. It says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Does this indicate that it is important for us to give? Yes, it does. It is important for us to give. On the negative side, I don't want to be cursed with a curse. But on the positive side, I'd love to get a blessing from God. And God promises here that if I give to his work, that he's going to bless that. So it's a no-brainer to give to the Lord. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So you never see a U-Haul following a hearse. You know, we've all heard that as Christians. You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. What that'll look like, I don't know. I mean, you know, are we going to have extra crowns or you know, I can't even imagine, but I can't wait to see what heaven's going to be like. I'm looking forward to it. So number two on page 18 says, what is God's promise about giving in Luke 6:38? Let's go to Luke 6:38. Matthew, Mark, Luke. It says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. So the answer is, give and it shall be given unto you. Now we don't give so we can get. We give to our Lord Jesus because he tells us to, and because we want to please Jesus. But Jesus repeatedly says through his word that if we give to others, he will bless that. Please go to 2 Corinthians 9:6. I'm going to show you some things. As I study to prepare these lessons, the Lord just really starts bringing verses to my remembrance. And I pray that it doesn't seem like I'm going off on bunny trails, but I pray that this makes sense. So 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So here we see Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit confirming the same thought. That when we give, God blesses that. Now, there's two stories I love to share. You know, the Lord allowed these things, I think, to happen to be testimonies. And these aren't to toot my horn, but to brag on the Lord Jesus. One time when I was working at my last job, I was driving as a trash truck driver. On that topic, I had lived a pretty trashy life for about 10 years, and I think God was like, yeah, you want to live a trashy life? I'll let you be a trash truck driver. So I'm like, okay, I'll be a trash truck driver. And one day, I was on my Friday route. Every route was different, and my Friday route was about 23 stops, and the last few stops were houses. And nothing, you know, special usually happened, but this one Friday, I'm getting close to my last house, and my boss calls me up, and she says to me, can I work tomorrow on Saturday? And I was like, no, I'm sorry, I can't. I committed to a ministry. So I had just gotten saved, and I committed to going to street witnessing in Philadelphia on North Broad Street. And so believe me, I was living single at the time. I was taking care of myself. I could have used that $100. She's like, oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, no problem. I think she was kind of touched by that, you know, I had a ministry. And so I get to my last house, I dump his trash toter, and the guy comes out to me. And I don't think I had ever even seen the guy before. And he hands me some money, and he says, I just wanted to give you this because to thank you for the good job that you do for me. I'm like, thank you. I appreciate that. And so you know, I go into my truck, and I open up. It's a $100 bill. And I'm like, wow, man, this is great. And then I start driving, you know, on my way back to the lot to end the day. And I'm like, oh, God, you're telling me that because I honored you, you're going to honor me. And I heard God speak to me in his still small voice in a very clear way that day. He said, Mike, I'm real and you can trust me. And so that was a special event. And it doesn't happen all the time. I didn't do that thinking, well, if I commit to this ministry, God's going to give me a $100 bill. And I didn't know that was going to happen. It just God wanted to bless me. There was another time it was around Halloween, and I wanted to buy Chick Tracks, Halloween Chick Tracks, and candy and baggies, and bag them all up to give them to one of my friends to give out at her house, because I didn't have a house. I had an apartment. And so I wanted that to be a ministry. But again, money was tight. And I remember standing in the Walmart aisle, the candy aisle, and just picking like my bags of candy into my cart and thinking, yeah, this is going to be about $50 for all these bags of candy and, you know, the baggies and the tracks and stuff. Probably totaled about $100. So I'm standing there and I'm praying, Lord, this is for you. You know, I'm just going to trust you with this. And, this is for your glory, Lord. And I go out to my car and I see like a little crumpled up piece of paper on the ground by my car. And I parked way far out in the parking lot. And I pick it up, I unfold it, and it was a $100 bill. So again, it was just, you know, I gave to the Lord and he blessed it. And we're seeing that through his word, that when you do that, God honors that. I mean, I think it needs to be out of a pure heart. Like, you can't be like, well, you know, I'll give today and, you know, maybe God will give me a $100 bill somewhere, or, you know. But, you know, Jesus repeatedly says through his word that if we give to others, he's going to bless that. So let's go to Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So question number three, read Matthew 6:33. How would you apply this to the subject of giving? Does anyone want to take a shot? I guess not. Well, my thought would be that if you work and you give to God's work, he will give you the money that you need to pay your bills. He'll make sure you have clothes, food, and a roof over your head, and a car to drive and to go to work in. And if you go back to verse 25, I think the answer to this question is right here. It says, and this is Jesus speaking, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment, considering the lilies of the field, how they grow? They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I shared this testimony a couple weeks ago, how my wife and I, we were going through a little bit of a financially tight time for a few weeks. It wasn't our fault, but it was just forces outside of our control. And it was really putting the squeeze on us. And we had to dip into our savings to pay some bills and, you know, move some things around and stuff. And I thought of this verse in Psalm 37. If you want to go there, this is a good one to know in your heart as a Christian. Psalm 37, verses 25 through 28. I have been young, and now I'm old. and that's the truth. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. So we can see from these verses that God will and does care for his people. So moving on to number four, we have a tithe is 10% of our gross income. What does Leviticus 27:30 say about the tithe? So let's go to Leviticus 27:30. And it says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So what does Leviticus 27:30 say about the tithe? Anyone want to answer? That's right. The right answer is all the tithe of the land is the Lord's, and it is holy to him. And we're going to have to stop there because it's getting close to time. We'll pick up here next week at number four. And we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We pray you please bless that to our minds and our hearts. Please bless the service ahead, Lord. If there's anyone that's not saved, I pray that when they hear your word, their hearts would be made tender and that they would receive you as Lord and Savior. And we pray you bless us all, Lord, and help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.